This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QUEERFAM for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is brought to you by Thrive Cosmetics and Modern Fertility. Thank you for making our show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Love is love. If you don't have to make a family, but take it not traditional. If these ovaries
could talk, you would say. How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Hi, Robin.
Hello.
Hello. Here we are on Zoom.
Yet again. It's 70 degrees out. I'm wearing a hat because I'm unshowered and sort of gross. It's fine. It's fine.
I don't need to know. Yeah, I would never know if you didn't tell me because we're not anywhere near each other in person.
Yeah, but you could see my face.
Actually, when the Zoom opened up and you had a hat on, I knew you weren't showered.
That's right. There's this TikTok of this guy who was... and he's hilarious, and he's a gay guy, and he was talking about going into a shop, and he was trying to get new clothes, and he was like, so, it needs to last like 3 days, and I can be able to like sleep in it, but it needs to also be very business forward presenting, but stretchy, and I was like, that is the most hilarious, like, I don't want to wear real pants ever again. We've been ruined.
Do you know, when I was deciding what to put on after the shower today, I was like, I had to convince myself to put real clothes on, and I'm so uncomfortable because I was like, I should just put my sweat uniform on because that's what I call it, my sweat uniform. It's so comfortable. These sweats that I would never even wear outside, they're hideous. I got them from my 12-year-old niece.
Amazing. Amazing.
They're cute. But they're amazing. So comfy.
Well, listen.
Okay, anyway.
On the business front, we had a really cool, like about a week and a half ago, we had a really cool donor-conceived person event. We had some technical issues. Our guest was in Thailand and never showed up. But what was so amazing is a woman named... Yeah, she couldn't make it her... Well,
she had an internet... She didn't... Yeah. It's not that she just like ghosted
wasn't
us.
She just flaked.
She was like trying really hard to get in, but she had an internet issue.
But Jamie and I were shucking and jiving for the first 11 minutes, and there was a lady named Sarah from the Donor Conceived Alliance of Canada. We were just like, Sarah, do you want to be on the show? And so she emailed us and was like, totally. So we sent her a link. She jumped in and was... But it was such a cool conversation. I don't know. Like, I feel like I learned a lot. I don't know. Jamie and I, we talk about, I wouldn't say being defensive, but, you know, our positions are for the LGBTQ community.
And we are very defensive. We are. We're defensive protective. Of our families.
Protective.
And protective. Yes. Thank you. We're protective of the way they were formed and the decisions we made, be they anonymous donors or not, to make them that way. And we're protective of all of you, our community, who have made your families in a myriad of ways. So we
and of our kids too, you know, we were really honest about worrying about that. And so it was like a nuanced conversation. And I thought it was really great to hear, like, when I'm thinking from my parent point of view versus the donor conceived person's point of view.
Right, right. And, you know, if you didn't catch this event or you have no idea what we're talking about, there are some donor conceived people who are not happy with the fact that they are donor conceived. And that is, a reality that has just been kind of newly brought to our eyes, right? I don't know.
I think they, many of folks in the community, and again, Sarah said this many times, she's like, I don't speak for everyone, which I think is great. None of us should be speaking, like Jamie and I shouldn't speak for the LGBTQ community. We're speaking for ourselves. But like she talked about wanting regulations to protect, that they need to be thinking about the donor conceived people like first and foremost. And you know, and then we were saying that we also have to be making sure that any regulations that come in aren't too much that it prohibits us from creating our families because we don't have a lot of options. So it's a nuanced talk.
Very nuanced. And a lot of feelings can get involved, which you see on social media a lot with comments and things like that. So it's a deep topic for all of us.
But it was such a good show after we got a guest. The first 10 minutes, Jamie and I are being idiots, so you could just really skip over that.
We weren't being idiots.
We were setting it up and waiting.
Talk about.
We were shucking and jiving. But go to our YouTube page if you missed it, because it's there, and you can watch the whole thing.
Yeah, it was a good conversation, and I think we came to a good place together, and that was the whole point of it, was to work together and find the allyship in this, because we are connected.
Yeah, we are. Completely. Forever and for always. All right. All that talk about intentional family planning stuff, it made me think about our book, Jamie. I mean, because we talk so much about the intentionality of our families and our origin stories in our book.
Mm-hmm. If These Ovaries Could Talk, the things we've learned about making an LGBTQ family is available at Amazon and all major retailers. You can check IndieBound if you want to buy locally. The point is, just get it.
Yeah. And we read the audiobook if you're a listening kind of person. Go to Audible or iTunes. Don't be afraid to rate and review it on Goodreads or Amazon. You know what I'm saying? Help us get this book out to more people.
Let's get this book out to more people. Also, just another little business item here. Do you want to help us make content for LGBTQ families? You might. Mm. So if you do, you can join our Patreon community and do just that. You can help us. You're going to do a great thing and you're going to get bonus content. Ooh, and at the gestational carrier level, you get video interviews of most episodes, and they are dropped a day early. Amazing. So you already might have watched this episode yesterday if you were there.
Uncut. I'm just laughing because you said you can help us, and there was a long pause, like because we really do need help. Helen's back. That's why we need help. All right, Jess and Brandy. Today's
Edna,
interview.
You. Yeah. Oh. Okay, Jess and Brandy.
Jess and Brandy. Okay, I mean. Jess is a listener, hadn't heard her story once again, and reached out. And these two had to be so flexible in making their family. I mean, how they started off is not at all how it ended up.
No, not at all. And if you're curious, let's just get to it. Let's not yammer on anymore. Helen. She's back, guys. She's back. Here we go again.
I'm going to roll.
Oh, she's
you,
up.
Jamie.
She's up. No, she just got up.
She's going to get tape, another Helen. Drink. It's fine. Hi, Jess and Brandy.
Hi, ladies.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for inviting us.
Well, thank you for being here.
how could we not? We have to tell everyone you're friends of Angela and Jess mm-hmm. and of Molly, previous, I think they were both season two, maybe?
And
I think.
Molly was our financial advisor who scared the living daylights out of me.
Our financial advisor. She says we're doing good.
Yeah, so. She's good. And Angela and Jess, I can't remember the title of their episode.
It was about help syndrome. It was like called mm-hmm. Help Syndrome.
A very heavy subject, but hilarious episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, you two, let's start with the elevator pitch about your family. And don't forget, I'm going to time it. Don't let it panic you.
Don't worry. Oh, my God. We'll cut you up.
Brandy's eyes just went boing, like saucer. I love that.
Oh, okay. I had to do it.
Jess has this. I just got the watch.
Damn, you two are good. Okay, on your mark.
We practiced last night in the hot tub on our date.
That?
Because the kids slept over grandma.
Well, look at you two. Yeah. You are living the life right now.
I know.
I am jealous.
I know. It's nice.
Okay, on your mark, get set, go.
We are Jess and Brandy, and we met in 2010 and started dating a little bit after that. My dad said, have kids, and we said, we're going to get married first. So got engaged in 2012, got married and committed in 2013, trying to have kids via IUI and IVF in 2014. That didn't work. 2015, we went to adoption, had our son in 2016 and our daughter in 2017, who was addicted to heroin.
Whoa. We did drop the mic on that last sentence.
Yeah, so much. Ooh. Also, so much just happened. She started like panic speeding up because of the clock. I was like, I should have said, we're not going to cut you off. Okay. Don't panic.
It's okay. First of all, you packed a lot. You packed a lot into that. And there's a lot to unpack right there mm-hmm. and now.
Also, you two, when you reached out to us, you referenced Amanda and Gab's episode, which it has to be, from listeners, one of the most referenced episodes that we've ever done. And I think it's because of the hardship that they faced. Mm-hmm. And now, given what you just said, that makes total sense. I didn't ask a question. I just said
Do you want to talk about the pet? Like,
I assume they had IUI and IVF failure.
I forget the episode.
Like five years of trying all kinds of ways.
It took them a long time.
Yeah.
They tried for a very long time.
And they hadn't. Yeah. They weren't successful by the end of the podcast. They were now, but they weren't. By the end of the recording of the podcast.
They were in a place where they weren't sure if they wanted to move forward. And they said in the episode, we haven't heard on your podcast, we haven't heard from anybody who's decided to stop trying the mm-hmm. fertility route. And so that's why they wanted to tell their story. And then when you reached out, you said, that's us.
Yeah.
Yes. So mm-hmm. we should share our story and maybe it gives them some hope. You know, so that's why, of course, you're here, obviously.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about, you decided you wanted to have kids, you're all married and committed, your dad's all pushing you to have babies.
Yeah, a good Catholic family.
Yeah, the funny thing is, you guys said, we're not having babies till we get married, which is so traditional of you.
My grandma wanted a family meeting when I came out, and my mom said, you don't need to have a family meeting about this.
What does that even mean? What does that mean?
I don't know.
A family meeting.
Sure. I know. What details did Grams want?
That's what I want to know.
So we figured we wouldn't freak the family out too much and actually go the traditional route.
And get married.
Before we had kids.
Yeah.
Because we got married in 2013, which wasn't legal. Uh-huh. So we just committed to each other.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then what happened? So you got committed and then you were ready to start trying?
Yes.
So we started trying in 2014.
We started after a honeymoon, which I think was in the fall after we got married.
Mm-hmm.
And you always knew, Jess, you were going to be the person to carry the baby.
Yes. Brandy didn't want to, never wanted to.
She could have my eggs, but I didn't want to carry. It was not. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't pushy about it, which was like, I was really thankful for.
Yeah.
But we tried just IUI initially.
So we tried to get pregnant because we figured we didn't want to have to. Adoption was always an option, mm-hmm. but at that point, because we couldn't get married, we didn't want to have to adopt a kid twice because only one of us would have been able to adopt the child, and then we had to readopt them as like a second parent adoption. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and I was always interested in being pregnant, so I was like, why not? Let's try. So we went ahead with me and used a sperm donor, and we went through a reproductive clinic. And the doctor was like, everything looks good. let's try IUI. We did it unmedicated a couple times. And that was 2 week wait was horrible. Never positive.
Sucks. Yes.
Every symptom of PMS is the same as pregnancy. So you're like, oh, my boobs hurt. Is that, could that be? Yeah, it stinks.
Yes. So I think when that wasn't working unmedicated, we tried medicine.
And what about your sperm donor at this point? Did you buy a lot of sperm to make sure you had enough?
I think we ended up using two different ones, didn't we? I think over the course of all the treatments we did.
Right?
I don't even remember.
Well, because it didn't become a part of your family story, which is interesting. So like it's not a detail, it's important.
Right. Yeah, we picked like a guy that was we thought was as similar to me as possible.
And then I think we bought some, and then I think there wasn't enough left, so we chose a different one and bought more of that person that we used.
And your doctor's still like, don't worry, we're just gonna bump this up to medicated, nothing to worry about.
Yeah, it's like usually it takes 3 to 5 times, so
it's very similar to what I went through actually.
Yeah. And I know they did all the testing before, and I don't think they ever did any testing like during the IUIs, like extra testing, other than the one where they make sure everything's open.
Right. The fluid through the fluid tubes. Thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
We should know the name of that. I do know that somewhere in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were told everything was good.
Yeah. But sometimes this is how it goes. Everything looks fine.
And then frozen sperm is slow sperm. So.
I know, he's like, it's frozen, it's fine, it just takes a little longer. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So then I think after 8 times, we were like, okay, let's talk. And he's like, you did it 8 times? He's like, we wouldn't have let you do that. And I was like, you're my doctor.
Yeah, but we did.
The one who scheduled it.
Were you paying out of pocket for this, or was this covered?
Most of it was covered through the insurance.
And I was tired of giving hormone shots.
Oh, yeah. Because by the 8th time, you were probably doing the gamut of fertility drugs. Like,
you were tired of it, but then we started IVF.
And then I was really tired.
I was going to say, it's not like you didn't give up. You went to more shots.
Yeah. Then I was really tired.
So he's like, 8 times, he's like, I recommend we go up to IVF, but there's still no diagnosis of why anything is happening or anything. It's just, let's just kick this up a notch.
Yeah.
Because it's time.
Right. And so, and then we were like, okay, it's bound to work with IVF because there's nothing wrong. They can't figure out why it is. So we ended up paying IVF out of pocket because my insurance had a limit. It was like, it would pay $3,000 a year or something like that.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, well, that's not helpful. And they had a self-pay discount where it was like half price, which is still a lot of money. But so I didn't want to end up paying more. So we just did that. They did have a three frozen deal that you paid like 3 times as much money for, but you were it was like a money back guarantee if it didn't end up working.
No one ever thinks you're going to need that. Wow. You know what I mean? You're always like, oh, we're going to be good. We don't need that.
So we didn't do that the first time. Yeah. But we did that the second time. So we did 2 that way.
Yeah.
So we did 3 IVF eventually.
When you say 3 IVFs, do you mean 3 retrievals and transfers?
Yes, because we never once had a frozen embryo.
Really?
Oh, you never had enough, never ended up with enough to freeze it?
No.
Oh, God, that sucks.
So that was one of the reasons why we ended up ending, because we were like, this isn't going anywhere.
And what's our time frame here from when you started with the IUIs to like your 3rd IVF? Like, how long was this process?
A year and a half.
So you were going pretty steady then.
Just kept going.
Yeah.
Oh, you were just back to back.
Yes. And then I was like, I'm done, like, doing it all.
Well, so in that time, so the first time we did IVF, we got pregnant, and somehow we technically got pregnant all 3 times, but the first time we were pregnant for longer because somehow the ultrasound was pushed back, but then it ended up being what they called a blighted ovum. There wasn't a heartbeat. There was never, I was pregnant, but there wasn't ever
like a false pregnancy. Kind of like,
and I'm assuming that's what happened on the other two, but we actually made it in the doctor sooner. And I don't remember why we didn't make it to the doctor.
He told us to come in later for the ultrasound. And we went in at 6 weeks.
No, the first time we went in at 9 weeks.
9 weeks, yeah. And it was not.
Oh, so you had like a long time of believing you're pregnant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like almost a trimester.
Because when it's IVF, you, like when you
You know exactly when.
And so you're...
And I'm like, they put it where it's supposed to go.
Right.
Why wouldn't it work? Mm-hmm. They put it where it's supposed to go. Right. They put all the things right there. Mm-hmm. I thought the same thing.
I want to talk about something off topic for just a second, Robin. Just a second. Uh-huh.
Of course.
Okay. I know that we talk a lot about Thrive Cosmetics here and there, really. But I have decided, really, I have, that I am absolutely in love with their products.
Oh my God. I am. I have come to the same conclusion. Really? I am so into their Brilliant Eye Brightener. Also, the mascara. Right now? I'm wearing it right now. It's a genius highlighter stick. It helps me look like I've had plenty of restful sleep, even when I haven't, because I never have. Right. And it's especially good. We got to make a little social video. I mean, we do that a lot. And I look tired, which is a lot. And my brightener stick hides it well.
I love it. I know all about that. Uh-huh. But my new obsession, and I am really in love with it, besides the eye brightener, skin cleanser, and mascara, I love all of those, is the Overnight Sensation Brightening Sleep Mask. Have you tried this?
Oh my God, I got it. My daughter stole it from me. But go ahead.
I rub it on my face before bed, and I kid you not, I look rested and hydrated the next day, even when I'm not, which I never am.
Totally.
And I'm in love with this stuff.
I know.
I highly recommend it. It's antioxidant packed. It cools and it brightens. It rejuvenates. It's a miracle.
They're the best
in a bottle.
And what makes Thrive Cosmetics even better is their bigger than beauty promise. So for every product that you purchase, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help women thrive, women emerging from homelessness, surviving domestic abuse, fighting cancer, and so much more. I mean, incredible.
Incredible. Well, folks, now is a great time to try Thrive Cosmetics for yourself. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order when you visit thrivecosmetics.com/OCT.
Folks, that's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/OCT. 15% off your first order.
Cause. You see what they did there?
I see what they did there.
It's a cause. So the first IVF, this happens. And what does the doctor say?
He just said, sometimes it happens. Yeah. He said, you want to try
it again? You're like, wait, hold on. We're 8 tries of IUI in, and now we just had an IVF where I had a blighted, what is it called? Blighted ovum? What's the deal here, man? It makes me angry.
So then we signed up for the money back guarantee. He's like, you're young, you're healthy.
There's nothing wrong.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my God.
And I think that one was pretty fast. I think I miscarried before this ultrasound.
Yeah.
It came out positive.
Yeah.
But then it didn't last like past week 5.
And at this point, what are your feelings about, a miscarriage in and of itself, not even on the backs of spending all this money and having tried 9 times already, is hard. I mean, how are you feeling about that?
Sad, wanting to move forward, like just bulldozing forward.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. Next time it was just like, all right, next one. And I'm like, maybe
I'll
you should like, let
later.
Your body heal.
I'll handle this later.
I was like, maybe you should like let your body like chill out for a minute.
Well, because after the second time they did more testing and they found out that I had a factor 2 mutation, which is a blood clotting disorder.
Oh.
And so then he was attributing all of this to this, and it can like clot off the embryo and then have you miscarry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I found out after other people in my family have had it.
Yeah.
Or we assume that they had it. I think one was confirmed and the others we assume was why, because like my aunt had some recurrent miscarriages too. So then the solution to that is to be on blood thinners while you're trying to get pregnant.
That can't be fun.
No. So I was doing, heparin shots every night. So her like abdomen was completely bruised.
Poor thing.
Yeah. So bruised plus
and my sister was pregnant at that time too, but she didn't know it. But then she got pregnant regularly, well, just naturally.
Yeah.
That time. And then when she tried to get when she tried to get pregnant again, she was having trouble too. So she was like, oh, my sister has this. And so she got tested and she did. So then for her other 2 successful pregnancies, she was on blood thinners for those. Can't believe that her and my brother-in-law were able to give themselves shots.
Because I had to do it the first time for them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're like, just turned into a nurse in the middle of this.
You're like,
and the first time was, she was like, I need my shot. I'm like, we're in the back of a car.
Well, I think you did the IVF
shot. The IVF shot for her.
She's like, I need to doing IVF for their second. Yeah.
She's like, I need my trigger shot. And was like, and your dad's like, what are you doing? I was like, giving your daughter a shot. Hold on.
Oh, my God.
He's squeamish. So yeah. He doesn't like to talk about that.
She's putting the blue gloves on. Boop.
Yeah, I got this.
You just pinch it and you jab it. Really,
I was like, it's not hard.
Yeah. Okay. I remember trying to give myself the trigger shot at work, and I pinched my little fat, and then I'd be like, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and I could never. I was like, I don't know how to stab myself, and I had to just be like, oh, this, because it was so like to make yourself stab yourself is not an easy thing.
I think I only did it once, even with the heparin shots or the whatever.
I was like, I won't be home that you have to do it yourself.
Yeah. Oh, I got so good at it.
So you've bought the money back guarantee, and you're now into the third IVF.
It was the second one. The second within that money back guarantee.
Okay.
Yeah, and then after that one, we stopped.
So it was the day my nephew was born. My sister was giving birth and we were in bed miscarrying, crying. And we were like, I think we're done.
Yeah. Aww. I was like, I think you're done. I think I'm done. Mm-hmm. And then I just started Googling adoptions in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And there was an adoption meeting coming up that Thursday. I think it was Tuesday.
It was a Monday.
It was a Monday. There was one coming up.
That week,
and I was like, we're going.
That was like,
talk about the universe
down the road.
Yeah, it was like 3 miles down the road. I was like, we're going to it. We're just going to go. It's an information night. We're just going to go to it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you cry through all of it? Just stand in the back sobbing? That's probably what I would have done. It's fine.
No,
okay.
No, I had my clipboard.
She had her clipboard taking notes.
She came prepared. No.
You're moving on.
She's the organizer. I'm just like, let's go. I kind of take notes mentally, but not really.
she doesn't do the spreadsheet.
It does me either. Neither do I. Yeah. It does seem like that's a big turn. That's a big change, sudden.
So we already knew that it was a possibility.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We had already discussed it when we discussed how do we want to start our family. And we already knew adoption was a possibility. And by that time, it was May of 2015.
I'm so getting old.
Things were moving along potentially. I mean, we were getting old. Okay, we're not that old, but
we were 30. We were so old.
Yeah, getting old.
We wanted to start a family, and honestly, like in the back of my head, I was thinking we'd already gotten officially married, surprisingly, in Indiana, small town Indiana, instead of Ohio. We finally gave up and said, screw Ohio, we're not waiting for you to come around. And we knew things were already on its way to the possibility of having it legalized nationally. Mm-hmm. So we were like, you know what? I'm sure it will be fine. We'll figure it out. Obviously, this didn't work. Brandy didn't want to try to get pregnant, and we didn't even need to go that route.
Right.
And I was very thankful she didn't push me.
Right.
Didn't want to.
The doctor was like, can we do your eggs? And Brandy's like, no.
I was like, you can take my eggs and put them in her, but I don't want to get pregnant. And he was considering it to be along with the package, but I was like,
we'll just switch to you. Like, you got two uteri.
Yeah. And I was like, but I don't want to, like, I got a physique here. No. But I was like, I don't want to carry. I never have. I don't want to.
Yeah.
It's just because I can. And
I didn't want to have to take blood thinners for 9 months either.
No.
That's not the safest thing.
No, that's not good for you. And it's just so funny. Yeah. You're not the first person we've talked to who has just said that the doctor just assumed that both of you ladies would be okay with carrying, and just like, our doctor said it to me too.
Scientific route. Yeah, yeah. They're just looking at it like the science, like, you got another one, move over here.
Yeah.
They're not looking at it from like our, and this is one of the things that we talk about all the time, about it would be helpful if they were trained in LGBTQ. I don't know. What's the word? Just ways, like, so that
in the gay ways. Get to know our ways. We got some gay ways.
That just sounded like Forrest Gump, but like just the gay ways. But like they, you know, just so that they would know to have some sensitivity around that question.
Yeah,
like, would you want to?
Just not because, just like, yeah,
you're up.
Yeah,
yeah, and well, you guys talk about gay drafting. Mm-hmm. Like we had an older lesbian couple that we knew who tried. They actually had done surrogacy, and they used this doctor, and then they actually used the adoption agency that we went through too. So, but we didn't really know anybody else who'd had kids. Mm-hmm. So we didn't really have, and I, we didn't really look around. We just kind of
went
with this. Yes. Yeah.
And there are not many adoption agencies around, especially 5 years ago, that were accepting of gay couples.
Right. No.
There's a lot of Christian organizations in Cincinnati.
You're Catholic, and you know, so it's just like, oh, got to be careful where you go. Mm-hmm.
So you knew someone who it worked for them. You're like, well, we're just going there.
Yeah, we went with the Jewish center.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
There you go.
And were you concerned about money going into this? Because I'm assuming you just spent a buttload of money for a year and a half on all the medical procedures. Now you got to turn around and you're like forking out cash for adoption.
Well, we got some of our money back. We got a good chunk of money back from the money back guarantee because it didn't work. There was no baby. So we got that back.
Like, did they really give, how much of it did you get back?
80%.
Oh,
yeah. 70 or 80%.
Yeah, something like that.
That was a smart move you made.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. And I wish we'd done it the first time, although, but.
And then her parents helped us out a little bit and gave us some money, which was nice.
Props to Jess's parents. Props to Jess's parents.
Yes. They really wanted grandbabies.
Yes, they did. They moved closer to us. Aww, I made a joke about babysitting and not wanting to drive that far.
Hence, they have our children right now.
I love that.
Yay.
Can I drop mine
Thanks,
off?
Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
I know.
Yes.
Come to swing by Brooklyn.
I'm sure they love it.
Yeah.
But then we also found out, I actually think they talked about it in the open house, that there's an adoption tax credit.
Yes.
That you get, eventually you get money back.
Yeah. I think it's like $12,000 or something like that. It might even be more at this point.
Pretty much get most of your money back.
Yes. I don't think a lot of people know that about about the tax credit.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It depends on how it's run. So, and my work had an adoption assistance as well. So we actually did get all of our money back from both of our adoptions.
Amazing.
At this point.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. You just had to, you know, fork it all over up front.
Sure.
Yeah. But. Right. Yeah.
So the other nice thing about our adoption agency is that they did it a little differently. They had a monthly payment that you paid up to a certain amount, certain number of months. And then there was more of a chunk, like when you got matched with a birth mom or an infant and then when you were placed with them. Mm-hmm. So they were always having money come in because in their heads, they always had expenses because the birth families could come in and ask for things. And so they always needed cash flow in case they needed to cover housing or food or car payments or whatever for the birth families before they're actually matched. Mm-hmm. And then we helped pay them back. So any assistance that the birth families got went through the agency, but then we repaid whatever they took up to a certain amount. And Ohio has really great adoption laws for the adoptive families. So we couldn't pay more than $3,000 in expenses to the birth family.
And it never went directly to the birth family. It went to the agency, and then the agency
paid it.
Like, and it only
the electric company or the car company or the landlord.
Cash never went directly to it. It had to go for some type of expense.
Mm-hmm. So it's a private adoption through an agency.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And it's open where you have to be matched and they choose you. Is that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you had to do like a book. Like a profile.
We had a paper book and then we had an online profile, which I think is where they found us.
Sage's birth parents found us online.
Oh.
Yeah. And his actually birth great grandmother found us online.
And said, "How about this family?" And so
that's so progressive.
She actually reached out to our she actually reached out to our agency and said, "I'm interested in this couple. I want to meet them."
Oh.
And I happened to be calling to ask, "Hey, what would happen?" I had some questions because we were going to maybe go to Guatemala for a service trip with the university that I went through. I'm an occupational therapist. So I was going to go on their service trip with the students. And she goes, "Well, funny, I was going to call you, but I needed some more details, but we think you have a baby." And we're like,
probably shouldn't be going out of the country.
Maybe not so much. Maybe wait.
Yeah.
And how long was this call after you had signed up?
I was going to say, we probably should back up.
Back up, yeah.
So in May, we got started with the process and filled out all the paperwork. And it took until Thanksgiving. So it took about 6 months to do all the stuff that needed to be done to be considered active.
Paperwork classes,
in that
house
time,
inspection.
Mm-hmm. Our marriage became legal in Ohio. So we were able to then both become like the applicants.
Adoptive parents.
Because I technically have filled out the paperwork first. And then Brandy was like the roommate.
Right.
Because I'm poor and have no money.
Roommate. She was a very supportive roommate.
Roommate.
So I think us and another gay couple were the first two that went through this agency because they called us and they're like, here, like, I don't think anything else has changed. You just have to refill out your application and put both of you as parents.
That's great.
Because they didn't really know what to do either. They're like, just refill it out.
Right.
Yeah. We're like, okay. Yeah.
That's great.
So we stalked every other profile that was on the website to see who looked interesting and who didn't and what we wanted to say. It took forever to write our profile.
Yeah. We wanted to look cool.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't? Like,
You want to be picked.
How do you present yourself to somebody who is going to choose if you get a baby or not?
So what did you decide was what you had to put in there? What did you learn?
So we were open. Well, we knew we were open to whatever, whoever, any race, any ethnicity, open to most situation.
Mm-hmm. Any age?
We wanted an infant.
Okay.
An infant.
Yep. And they only did infants up to like 6 months, I think, at the agency. We both have worked with kids with disabilities, kids with backgrounds in foster care, and we didn't want to go that route. We wanted to, we just wanted to start a family. We didn't think we could handle giving back a child or raising a child and then reuniting them with their birth family or their families. Right.
Mm-hmm. It's tough.
Yeah. To me, there should be no judgment in what you check or don't check. It should just be knowing what's best for you. Because that's how you're going to be the most successful parents.
Right. Yeah. And we had originally going in, you know, we said any race, you know, ethnicity, but we originally had said we didn't want to do a child that was addicted to drugs because we'd both worked with him.
I think we actually said that on our first one.
Our first one. And we just was like, no, we both done it at work. We can't work with it and do it at home.
Yeah.
We needed that separation and then never say never.
Right. But what we put in our profile was we really wanted to highlight the diversity of our family, the diversity of who we hung out with. We specifically moved to a diverse neighborhood in Cincinnati, which is sometimes hard to come by. We assumed we would have a child that wasn't the same race as us. So we really wanted to highlight the fact that we hung out with a lot of people from different backgrounds and different races and different beliefs, just so that they could feel comfortable. And we talked a lot about like our values, what we'd like to do as a family and what we hope to do with our children.
Hiking, traveling, being outdoors, working out.
I mean, it's like all you can do is be honest, right? Is say all the things that you are and hope someone connects to it and says, that's a family I want to raise, you know, my biological child.
And that's, I think, ultimately what connected us with the first birth family. We met a lot of their family and heard a lot about the family. I mean, we met birth mom, birth dad, and both of their moms. So the birth grandparents.
It was all in the delivery room together too.
Yes. Wow. Yes. In the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night in the delivery room.
So this was an open adoption.
Yes.
Yeah.
So unfortunately we haven't had any contact with them. They have chosen not to have any contact with us since. But we were very open. We got to know them. We were matched. So we got on the list and became active in November. And of course, I was checking the list of active families on the website every week. And I'd be like, oh, they got a baby because they're not on the list anymore. Oh, they got a baby or they had to give up.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah.
And we chatted with somebody else from the group and they were like, you do what? And I was like, you don't check the list? Like, this is who we're competing against each other, kind of.
In a way,
like,
yeah.
What? They're like, well, what? I was like, oh, maybe it's just us.
Okay.
To each his own.
Yeah. But then in January, it was January that we got matched with them. So we had a couple months.
Wow.
Before was he
fast.
Was
very fast.
Born at the end of April. And we got to connect with the birth mom and the birth dad a lot. And we even, after we came home, we were like, we're not going to really see them again for a while. Because it was a very Juno, if you know the movie Juno, it was like very much that kind of situation. Like she came into this, like, this is not my child. I'm doing things to make sure the baby is healthy and this is your baby. Wow. And even at the hospital, when the staff was even like asking us things, we were like, you need to ask her. And she was like, you need to ask them because they're the parents and I'm not. And so like, we were trying to be respectful of her, her decision and her choice. But she was like, this isn't my child. This is your
child. She was just very disconnected from the baby from the get-go.
Very disconnected personally, but very
respectful.
Wanting to make sure the child was healthy and respectful.
Yeah. And so it sounds like if I'm doing the math correctly, from when you decided to switch to adoption to when you had a baby was almost like 9 months, just a little over 9 months.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's like perfect timing.
And so once you were matched and you met the birth parents and you were going along with the process, was there any fear involved? I mean, it sounds like she was kind of like...
Not after we met her. No, I was
As much as our parents were both like, and other people were like, aren't you a little nervous?
I never was.
I never felt nervous.
And even after I met birth dad and his mom with the birth mom, I mean, they're super nice family. And like,
I'm glad it worked out because it would have been super crushed. But I hope that we can reconnect with them at some point.
Well, the door is open, someday. Right? If they want to.
Right. Of course. Yes. At any time.
We gave them our contact information and we have theirs, but we did keep in touch a little bit. And birth mom never responded. Birth grandma did, but she said, I need to follow what she wants. Yeah. So she's like, so she never responded. And we just were like,
okay,
we had a photo website that we gave them access to. And I don't think they ever logged in.
Yeah. I imagine that would be difficult. I mean, you know,
I couldn't imagine what it would be like.
Jamie, I just have to stop for a second and say, you know that when it comes to our LGBTQ families, a lot of time we don't know if we have fertility issues until we actually are in the process of trying to create our families. True. And for many of us, there's no, oh, I can't believe I haven't gotten pregnant yet with all this unprotected sex I've been having. Unfortunately, sex for our families doesn't naturally produce babies, mostly.
If only. But seriously.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened to me. I didn't know there was a fertility issue until I was already at the clinic and I was also considered geriatric. Like, how would I have known that my parts weren't in working order? How?
Well, Jamie, you know how? That's why Modern Fertility was created. Yes, it's an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home. You're going to give yourself a simple finger prick. You're going to mail it in with the prepaid label and you'll get your personalized results in 10 days.
Yes. And
so good for the planning part.
Yeah. Yeah. There it is. And you're going to get insight into your hormone levels, your ovarian reserve, aka how many eggs you have compared to other women your age, and other important fertility factors.
Yeah. And traditional testing, which you may or may not know, with your doctor, it can cost over $1,000. But Modern Fertility gets you the same info for $159. I mean, that is a fraction of the price. Oh, and if you go to modernfertility.com/OCT, you're going to get $20 more off your test, Jamie. Come on.
One more thing. Mm-hmm. Also, if you have an HSA or FSA, you can put those dollars towards Modern Fertility too.
Yeah. So if you want kids today or maybe one day in the future, clinically sound info about your body can help you make the decision that's right for you and your family. And like I said, right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test. I'm getting up into the rafters with my voice. If you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
That means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office.
Yep. So get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
modernfertility.com/OCT. On another note, did they ever mention to you why they chose a lesbian couple?
Yes, she said that growing up, she had kind of been made fun of a lot and
kind of discriminated against.
And she knew that we had probably been through that a lot and that we could deal with that if our kids.
That's so wonderful.
And we wouldn't judge her for that.
Yeah.
For her choice that she was making about adoption.
Oh my God, that's so wonderful and so thoughtful.
Yeah, and coming from someone on the younger side, it was really great that she was able to process that.
Yeah.
She was very articulate.
Yeah, and she wrote a letter.
I can't
read the letter.
Read the letter she wrote without crying.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, it's, I was like, whoa, I can't even like begin to read it. Like even to think about it, it's pretty, it's a pretty amazing letter.
What a thoughtful decision on her part, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like one day Sage will really appreciate that letter.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. So.
And how old is Sage now?
5 and a half.
Yeah.
Don't forget the half.
Don't forget that half. No. Very important.
I mean, I know we have another kid to talk about, Kim, but I do have a question. And if there's like no answer to it, that's fine too. But, you know, Jamie and I always talk about sometimes once you get into the parenting, you like all that baby stuff is just like, you're fine. You know, it's like, and sometimes I,
all that fertility
and
stuff.
I feel like, sometimes when I'm talking to people, I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. The baby's coming. But it's, you know, and it seems like you guys are in that place where you end up having kids, just not the way you thought. Did you ever have to process all that happened with all the medical stuff and all of that? Or was it just literally like, we're on to the next thing and we got a kid and everything's okay?
No, I feel, I don't know about you. I had to process it a little bit.
I think she probably had to process it more than I did.
I feel like I did it during the time we were waiting to adopt because I didn't know how long it was going to take. Mm. I assumed it would take a while.
I think I just had to process more of her emotions that was going through. It was a lot of emotions, a lot of hormones, man.
Woo. Yes. Yeah.
We made it through that.
You stuck with me.
I made it through that.
And now we look at each other and we go, please don't ever leave me.
Please. Yeah. But I think Jess probably had to process more than I did. So, I was going through it, but I don't think as emotionally as she was, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's wrong to say, but like, that's,
I would still love to be pregnant, but honestly, at this point, it doesn't matter.
No.
And
I can't handle another kid
myself when I jump on a trampoline. So
yeah, but Jamie and I do. I can't, I shouldn't speak for Jamie. I pee myself all the time.
I don't pee myself. I had a C-section.
Damn it. So this is just me, everyone. It's just me. It's fine. So how long before you were like, we're having another one?
Okay, so as soon as we had Sage, we were like, when can we get on the list? Because we assumed it would take a while. And in Ohio, you have to be 6 months old. No, it has to be 6 months after the parental rights were terminated or signed away before you can officially adopt them. So in November, we went to court and got the paperwork signed, and we're both listed as parents on the birth certificate and the adoption decree, which that adoption That's decree amazing. Is what's actually the legal
exactly work, yes,
not the birth certificate.
That's amazing.
So, and they said after Sage is finalized, then you can get back on the list. So we did. That was in November. We got back on the list probably in December.
So that's like 6 months after Sage was born.
6 months after.
Okay.
Yeah. So we were like, you know, it'll probably take a year and a half, 2 years. That'll be a good age difference. So then we're just waiting. And we were discussing like, okay, he's a little bit of a handful. I mean, it's not easy raising a baby. We're like,
he's very active.
I can't imagine having to juggle a kid, a baby or a toddler, and get to know a birth family that may or may not pan out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's a whole nother aspect. Yes,
because we had said we would love to get to know the birth family. We would love to have a relationship with them and really get to know them before we had a kid. So that's what happened with Sage. And we go, I would love if a baby just fell in our laps.
Just call me.
I doubt that would ever happen, but that would be amazing.
Especially because you don't have baby fever anymore because you've got a baby. So you're not as panicked.
Yeah, we don't care.
Yeah.
Just call me to come get him. I already got a car seat.
Yeah.
You know, I got this.
We got the baby stuff. We're good.
I know how to swaddle now. I know what that word means. I have a bottle.
So
I know how to mix formula. I'm good.
Yeah. So we just basically lived our lives. And I was not as anal about checking the list to see who else was getting
because you're chasing after a baby
for us because at that point it didn't matter.
Sage was very active. He was already walking and talking, and he was early for all that.
No time. And, there is no time for all that stuff anymore.
So then I said, I think it was in the summer. I was like, you know what? Let's just check in. And so we checked in with the social worker, and we're like, hey, how's it going? any, like, has anybody been looking at us? And she's like, oh yeah, your profile's been real active. And we're like, oh, okay. What?
I was like, man, I really wanted to have Sage potty trained before we had another kid, you know, like,
that, like, the deadline keeps getting pushed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, like, we wanted Sage to be in college and supporting us before we have another kid.
So I told my work, I was like, you know what, my profile's been kind of active, just FYI, like, because I took maternity leave with Sage, or took leave, which wasn't covered, but I had time off, and then I took some weeks off without
wasn't
pay.
Covered?
Only two.
No, because ours is covered? Short-term
disability.
Through short-term disability. Yeah.
And some places don't have the same for adoption as they do for if you had a baby. It really depends on your employer.
But I got $5,000 from them to cover adoption expenses.
Hey now, so we'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I was okay. I mean, that kind of covers what I didn't get paid for those few weeks. Mm. So then I think she emailed us and was like, hey, your profile is really being considered. So just FYI. And so I emailed my work and I was like, hey, our profile might be considered. And she emailed back and was like, oh, it's not, but I'd already told work. So I was just like, I'll just leave it at that. So then the next day I'm at work. At lunch, get a call, and my coworkers who were sitting at lunch with me back when we could sit with our coworkers at lunch.
remember that?
We're like,
so 2019.
Your face. They were like mouthing to me because I think my face went white and like I was like, oh, because she's like, hey, so we have a baby at the hospital who's already been born.
Oh my god!
And they want you. And I was like, say what? And oh, I've like mouthed like baby to my coworkers, and all of a sudden like she gets up and I hear her telling everybody in the office, Jess's getting a baby. And I'm like, oh, okay, well wait, I gotta get some details. So I tried to get as many details as I could, which she didn't have a whole lot. So I was like, you need to find out all of the details. Cause I think at that point she said she was born addicted to heroin and she's in the NICU right now. And she has jaundice. And I think that was about all we had. And I didn't even know if it was a boy or a girl. I think at that point it was just the baby has this, the baby has that. Yeah. And then I hung up and I was like, and I called you. And
I wasn't answering.
Oh, I had to call the neighbor and say, is Brandy home? Can you go knock on the door? Because we have a baby and we need to decide.
I had just picked Sage up from grandma's, but he was he was in the counter trying to cut a watermelon.
Oh,
he was 15 months old.
I was in our social worker's office.
Yeah. And I was like, Kendall's like, Jess needs you. I was like, what? I'm trying to deal with Sage. He has a knife. What,
yeah.
What,
so that
what's
was
going on.
That was 9 months after we'd been on the list. So Sage was 15 months old at that point. Mm.
And then I get on the phone with Jess and she's crying. I was like, what's wrong? Baby. And I was like, what? We have a baby? I was like, oh no, what's wrong with it? Why are you crying?
Yeah. Cause I'm like, how serious, like I wouldn't even know what you need to consider in terms of the heroin addiction. Like, I mean, when I hear that, cause I had addicted parents, like a panic goes up the backside of me, but like, you know, so I don't even know what you consider. Like, what do you think about when you hear that?
Yeah, so then we got on the
call. We were consulting many of our friends who are doctors.
So I was like, okay, let me call my friends who are doctors. And then...
And I was talking to our social workers who had... Because I work with a lot of patients who have a history of drug exposure in utero, along with other disabilities. So I was like, okay, let's really talk this through. Can we handle it? I called my mom, you called your mom.
And then our friend Dre was like, well, we don't really know. How desperate are you? And I was like, huh? She's like, oh, it's 50-50. You don't know.
You don't really know. Yeah.
And I was like, you guys are not helping.
Like, what are the things, like developmental delays or addiction issues or everything?
ADHD,
addiction.
CP, you know, vision issues.
She also had jaundice. Which, because she needed to be swaddled because she was withdrawing, but she needed to be under the billy lights, they couldn't swaddle
her.
Hold
her like this.
You slept the whole night like with this. Her like that on her billy lights. Like billy lights her, billy lights wrapped around her, billy lights from the top.
Her jaundice was severe, like a couple points away from a blood transfusion.
Because if the billy level gets too high, it can cause brain damage.
Oh my God.
I didn't know that was a thing. They're like, she's like 2 points away from a blood transfusion. Hold her there. And I was like, what? That's a thing?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, Get into the light,
yeah,
baby.
Right.
Oh, this poor baby.
Yeah. So we walked in. So
we walked into a mess.
So I asked 100,000 questions because I knew enough about asking about like different factors about. I was like, what were her Apgar scores? Mm-hmm. Well, first I said, what gender is it? Yeah. It was a girl. What were her Apgar scores? What's her head circumference? I was like asking all these questions and the social worker's like, I don't know. I'll call the hospital back. So like she had to do that like 4 times. And every time the social worker called, the hospital was like, you need to pick it up. The parents, they need to get down here now. And so nobody was happy that I was
asking
trying
questions.
To draw this out.
Yeah, so they were just like, just come down here and see her. And I was like,
yeah, because they know you're going to walk away with the baby. If you go see a baby, you're leaving with
the baby.
If you
go see her, it's a done deal.
That's how I got my first cat.
Right.
Like, I was like, we'll just go take a look at her.
Right.
Next thing you know, I was like, oh.
So, yeah. So, you know, so then we leave our kid Sage with our neighbor until her mom can get here. And we go down and, you know, we see her. And of course, we stay, you know.
Like. But my question is, how come you only heard of her the day she was born?
So her birth mom went to the hospital in labor, I think knowing that she wanted to give him up for adoption, but she had not made a plan.
Yeah, I mean, she was addicted to drugs, so she probably wasn't in a space to.
Yeah.
So the agency didn't even know her before
she, just
she went into labor?
They just gave her like a list of an agency and she just picked this
hospital.
Agency.
Yeah,
and then how did she pick you guys?
Just they brought a bunch of profiles and she picked our profile, I think.
Yeah. I'm not
she was
really
like the gay
sure
moms,
she picked,
I want
probably.
Them.
Well, she was in a lesbian
relationship.
Her and her girlfriend were at the
hospital together.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you heard all this information from doctors, friends, people. You went to see the baby and you were just like, all that went out the window. You're like, we're taking this baby. We'll
no,
deal
we
with it.
We walked in and she was screaming and we both looked at each other and went, what did we just get into?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because you had a baby at home, you know how hard it is at this point. You're already dealing with so much screaming at home. You walk into a room and there's a baby screaming and it's like, oh no, wait a
second.
Yeah,
and the NICU screaming.
Yeah.
The quiet NICU. And we're in the corner room by ourselves because she's screaming so much.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, severely addicted, withdrawing from drugs.
Poor baby.
Taking.
I mean, she was, there's a scale that gives the withdrawal symptoms. It's out of 20. She at one point scored a 19 out of 20.
Holy
the only thing symptom she never had was a seizure. Thank God.
Oh God.
Yeah.
So
she was the worst of the worst. Like
I don't know how we got so lucky. And we just assumed that there would be some issues, but we knew that heroin doesn't tend to give a lot of birth defects. It has more of like neurological. Like ADHD and like behavioral problems or educational problems, learning disabilities. From what they knew, I feel like they probably know a lot more now because they're actually studying it with the opioid crisis, or they will know more soon. But at that point, they really didn't know a whole lot. The other thing was, good thing we said yes, because then the adoption agency closed their doors the next month.
What?
So she was one of the last children that they placed for adoption.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We don't know
we
why.
Shouldn't say this on the national. We don't know why they closed, but we're not sure.
We don't know who
it
is.
You haven't said their name.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we have no clue why.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, she was a hot mess. Wow.
So she was withdrawing. Oh. So she was in the NICU for 13 days, 12 days. She went through methadone. Like treatment.
The methadone isn't forever. It was just to get her weaned off.
It was to get her weaned off. So they don't just automatically start with methadone. They try to see if they can withdraw
without anything.
Without needing it. But
she could not.
She couldn't.
Poor baby. I just keep thinking of this poor baby just in so much pain. And,
and she was she was born to term.
Yeah. She was
but
like
she
39
lost,
and a half weeks.
Yeah, but she lost weight because she couldn't eat. She was screaming so much and puking.
Yeah.
She's a puker.
So once she didn't have to be under the billy lights and she could get swaddled and we were there holding her
constantly.
She was what, 24 hours old, 24 and a half hours old by that time?
When we got there, one of us was always there, or her mom or dad. Like, we never left the room unless one of us were there to hold her, or a cuddler would come in if we had to run a volunteer.
When did the switch happen then? When did you go from, oh shit, to
Oh, I still say that. I mean, it's 4.5 years later.
Well, I say that about my kids, too.
It's 4.5 years later, and I still say that.
Honestly, once she calmed down and she wasn't on the Billy Lights was when I was like, okay, we can do this. I like cuddling with the kids.
Did you ever get to meet the birth mom? Yes.
Okay, so we walked into this situation as a closed adoption. Uh-huh. And then we're in the NICU the next day, I think.
Such a blur.
And all of a sudden, like all this activity, and the nurses were like in and out of the room, and like they seem all stressed out. And we finally were like, it was me. I was the only one there.
Because
you were at home with Sage. And I was like, what's up? And they're like, well, the birth mom showed up in the lobby and wants to see the baby.
Oh, geez.
So then they had to figure out all this whatever logistics between our social work or our agency social worker and the social worker at the hospital.
She'd already signed the rights over to the agency, but hadn't signed the rights over to us yet.
I got to meet her and her aunt. You met
the girlfriend. Yeah.
I met birth mom's aunt. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she intended to tell her, but they ran into each other or something along the way. And so then I think maybe the aunt had something to do with her coming to want to like see the baby and say hi and meet us. So I got to meet them, and I'm texting Brandy, hey, the birth mom's here. I'm meeting
her. That had to be scary.
Yeah. It was a little nerve-wracking, but I was like, we've already done this once. So I was like trying to be very respectful, although the nurses were not super happy like with me trying to give her space with the baby. And they were like all nervous. And I left her alone I let the birth mom stay with Olive. Which we didn't even know before then that she had named her something else. Like we weren't told any of this. So we'd already chosen a name for her by the time the birth mom showed up and told us, and we're like, oh, we're sorry. Like we didn't know that. Nobody told us.
But that's not her name.
So I left her alone with them, and I walked down. I was like, I'm going to give them some space. Cause it sounds like we've already connected. And my mom was there too.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh yeah, that was the first time we were finally like, okay, I think you can come in here, because we were very much like, this isn't our child like yet. It takes 3 days before we officially get like placed with her with mm-hmm. the child, or 72 hours or something like that. So, but I was like, I think it's okay. Like, come here, come in. You can meet her. So my mom was there. So we left, and I guess she left the crib railing down. I don't know. The nurses were all in a tizzy when I returned. Mm. And they were like, just don't leave it again. Like,
and then, sorry. Then when I came.
Well, then I said, do you want to meet my wife? And so we set up a time for them to come back. And she actually came,
which I was kind of surprised.
And brought a girlfriend at the time.
Yeah.
At the time, girlfriend.
Yeah. And then she, Olive was screaming, which she did a lot, and shaking. Why can't they give her something? And at that time, I was so tired because I'd stayed up the whole night, like being with
holding her under the lights.
Yeah. And I don't sleep well anyway. So, you know, all the beeping in the NICU, I was like, no, you know, mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, just be calm. Like, they are giving her something. You gave her too much.
Yeah.
Right.
You
right.
Know. We actually want them to give her less, to be honest.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, okay. Okay, just okay. Just say nice things and say, It's like it was such a blur, you know, like you've been up for like 24 hours, like you're getting very little sleep, and you got a toddler at home who doesn't understand why both his moms aren't home. And at that point, he never slept either. He was always up.
So that was the only time we ever met her, talked with her. We did not exchange our number with her.
Yeah.
No.
No, you don't want that. And
we haven't heard. She did. We did set up a photo website for her as well, and gave her access to that. And I think she checked it until about 6 months old. And then I think after the, I don't think she ever checked after the adoption was finalized, which it was at 6 months.
Yeah.
And then after Olive was signed kind of over to us, we changed like the passcode to get into the NICU. Because we didn't want her. We needed Olive to be with us at that point, and we didn't need her coming in rattling anything anymore.
And all the
nurses were like, no.
On our side.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, I mean, like, we want to respect the birth parents, but they were all like,
she needed to get healthy.
I was just going to say, she was not in an emotional or physical place to make choices that were necessarily smart or the smartest right, for yeah. the child at that time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also found out that Olive had hep C while we were in the hospital. Oh. So then we also had to deal with that.
Well, was exposed to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had to also, you know, be on the lookout for that. And then, of course,
she did get it.
Yeah.
So
you had like a road to get her healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're healthy now.
I was going to say, where is she today? Like,
yeah, where are we today?
We're going to get her evaluated for ADHD.
Yeah. But yeah, she's super.
Well, my daughter has
it. Yeah, she's super smart. Like, she's already reading. Like,
oh my gosh. So, also, my background is occupational therapy. Mm-hmm. So, this is what I do. And you have a background in like rehabilitation. I forget what you're doing.
Behavioral stuff. Yeah. I have a bunch.
Something.
Yeah.
He worked with a lot of people with disabilities. Yeah. So we kind of already knew what to push her. So like she was planking at like 4 months old, which looking back, we're like, okay, well, there's your ADHD. There's your like high tone.
So was my daughter.
Yeah.
She watches TV upside down in a headstand on the couch.
Yeah.
Like, uh-huh. TV's upside Mine down, too. You think? You're upside down.
What she reads upside down.
So that's just love each other. Is that just like a symptom of like not being able to be still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She sits, we have a rowing machine and she rows while she watches TV.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get it, girl. Yeah. You know.
She stands on the like air filled disc at dinner.
Because she can't sit to eat.
So
she just, we move a lot.
Yeah.
I get it.
But you know what? If anybody was qualified to have this baby, it's you two. Like you have the occupational side, you have the, I mean, you have all the skills like, to be able to support it.
Yeah. It didn't seem to suck so much when we were in it until like the end. And we're like, oh my God, we've been at this for so long. And then once it kind of calmed down, we were like, oh my God, that was horrible. That was, we were just surviving through that. And we had a 15 month old who was turned into like a 2 year old during all this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we had some really good friends that would come over and help. Like our friend Jason was a nurse and he would come over and help me feed Olive because she screamed a lot and her tongue would kind of go up and I had a hard time feeding her. You had to like swipe her tongue down and get the bottle in and then she'd puke. And
and she was a projectile puker.
Oh man. And so she wasn't gaining weight. And so he would come over and be like, you have to eat this. And
but we were so on it. Our doctor was like, well, okay, to put this in perspective, our son would eat upwards more than 30 ounces a day. Mm. Olive would barely get 20 in a day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so our doctor's like, your only reference is a beefcake. Like it's say Jade a lot. She's doing fine. But we were like, you're eating. Like we were so stressed about that because we knew that being able, like she needed to get the calories. She moved so much that she needed extra calories. So I mean, once she
was walking before she was one, like she was always moving, planking, rolling, crawling.
We're always proactive about things.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that she was meeting her milestones.
Yeah.
We had her evaluated a few times, like through the follow-up clinic and then the Help Me Grow, the like early intervention. We had them come out just so in case we were missing something. Mm-hmm. But we're like, I think she's on target, but we just want to make sure. And she's now they're at a Montessori school and she's in pre-K right now and she's starting to read and she can memorize anything and somehow she's doing great.
Yeah.
That's like, how old is she now?
She's four and a half.
4 and a half. So she'll be in kindergarten next year.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say somehow they're doing great. They're doing great because of you two.
Well, we're doing, she's doing way better than we ever expected. She doesn't have all the issues that we thought she would have.
Yeah.
We can handle ADHD.
Yeah.
I mean, she can swim every stroke. She knows how to swim.
Good for her.
She can ride a bike without training wheels. So
atta girl.
Well, it sounds like everything turned out
exactly
all right.
The way it was supposed to. I mean, it feels like as hard as it was, it turned into something pretty friggin' beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, it was so crazy because we went into adoption thinking that, you know, we adopt any like ethnicity, race, and we got, you know, two blonde haired, blue-eyed
white kids.
How'd that work out? How did that happen?
It's fine.
Never
fine. Yeah. We love them. It was just like, huh, here we go.
It's so funny. You're the second couple we've talked to who said, wouldn't it be great if somebody just dropped a baby in our laps and it actually happened?
Yeah.
The second couple who said it and it happened.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm just saying, you two be careful what you wish for. That's what I got to say from this point forward.
Not wishing for another kid.
Well, thank you. Thank you both so much.
Well, you do a good job. You do a good job. Yeah,
exactly.
Maybe you should.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. This was so wonderful.
Oh, Jess and Brandy.
Jess and Brandy. Oh. I mean, God, they went through so much and they seem so happy and joyful and just like this is our path.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way they talk about their daughter, so much love, that little girl's in the right home. She really is. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. I love them.
Both those kids in the right home. 100%. I mean, amazing.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So if you have thoughts about today's episode or anything ovaries related, you can go to sayhi.chat/ovaries and you can leave us a voice memo up to 60 seconds and we might use it in an episode.
How fun would that
be? Come on now.
Edna, if you're out there, can you send us one?
Oh. Edna needs to send us one.
Edna's going to start sending us some voice memos.
I'm going to ping her.
Oh my God.
She keeps checking in to see how Helen's doing. It's bad.
I mean, she knows the answer. We all know the answer.
Yeah, she does. She does. She knows.
I can't believe how long we can talk about two make-believe assistants.
We really could go on for days.
We
have
hours.
To stop ourselves.
This is ridiculous. Okay, sorry, guys. All right, back on track.
We're going to do it on the social media now. Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and TikTok.
Yeah, find us.
If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube. You can support our podcast and join our community on patreon.com/ovariestalk. And don't forget, you get bonus content.
Yes. And thank you so much to our sponsors, Thrive Cosmetics and Modern Fertility. And a huge thank you to all Patreons who are helping us make this show. We really do thank you. It means a lot. Every little bit.
We do.
Means a lot. And we love you all.
That is true. That is true. All right.
There she goes again. There's Catherine Hepburn making her entrance.
Oh, my. I don't know why she's here.
Maybe that's how Edna talks.
I think she might. Stand by for voice memo from Edna. All right. Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.